You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
How's everyone going? Isn't it good to be in church on Palm Sunday? You know, I think it's really important for us to really take note today that above any sporting contest, above any football match, Jesus is more important, amen? We've all got that in common. Because depending on what supporting team you support, some people are rejoicing today. Other people are just praising Jesus today. I love that we can come together. We can celebrate Jesus. It's the one thing we have in common, amen? Jesus is our Lord and Savior. If that's not true for you yet, I pray that God ministers to your heart today, speaks to your heart today. Well, my name's Pastor Lee, for those of you who don't know me. It's great to have you at church today. What I want to do before I start, I just want to mention, God bless you, Pastor Raja, for being with us today. Yeah. Pastor Raja is all the way from Malaysia. Yeah. And this is Amos's dad, pastors a church in Malaysia. Powerful ministry. God, I'm just so grateful that you're able to be here with us today. So good. Well, my message today is called, as part of our By Faith series, By Faith, Walking Faithfully. And it's my heart by the time we get to the end of today that it just ministers to our hearts, that it calls us to everything that God has for us. It says this in Hebrews 11:1. It says, and we know this scripture well by now, amen. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It's the evidence of things we cannot see. Verse 2, however, through their faith, the people in the days of old earned a good reputation. A good reputation with who? A good reputation with God. Their faithfulness, the way they outworked their faith, a good reputation with God. And so today, I'm just going to let you know, we're changing tack a little. For those of you who don't know what the word tack means, it's just a small change in direction to catch the wind. It's a sailing metaphor for anyone who's wondering. Just a small tack, just to catch the wind of where we need to go. Today's message, I truly believe it's going to help us learn some more. It's going to increase our understanding some more of what God calls us to and also wants us to grow. And if you're taking notes today, well done. If you haven't thought about taking notes yet, I would encourage you to. It's really, really helpful for you. God will speak to you and minister to you as you do so. You know, that word faithfully, it's maybe not a word that we think about very often. It's not a word we potentially use overly often either. But the word faithfully is defined in our common English language as commitment and loyalty. That's probably the simplest way for us to understand it, commitment and loyalty. Biblically, however, there's an extra dimension to this word faithfully. And I just want to put some introductory framework and definition around this word faithfully from a biblical point of view. I would like to explain it as this. This is just our ground level understanding. It says this, for all the days of my life, I'm committed to walking with God with unwavering faith, uncompromising loyalty, and God-honoring obedience. This is a bit of an extra dimension to what it means to walk faithfully from a biblical point of view. And I'm believing that by the time we get through today, that this fire is going to be burning in your heart about the way that God has called you to walk, personally has called you to walk faithfully. May our hearts burn with the power of the Holy Spirit. May our daily walk be radically empowered by our obedience to the guidance and direction from God's word. Who wants that to burn in their hearts? I know that I do. You know, we understand by now, or we've been learning about that word faith, that word faith, it's not about crossing our fingers. Has everyone picked that up yet? It's not about crossing our fingers. It's not a wish. Rather, it's the reality of everything that we're hoping for in God. It's the evidence. Our faith is the evidence that the things that are currently unseen, that we would see them according to God's will and God's plan. Now, if you were to say to me, Lee,
You are living in a complete delusion. No one can see a new room for the kids. It's not there. My response is, all I have to show you right now is my faith. I'm hoping with my spiritual faith. I'm hoping with my spiritual hope. My faith right now is the evidence of what we're yet to see. This is my response. So yeah, I understand it hasn't materialized yet. My faith is the evidence of what we're going to see. Amen. Amen. See, it's easy to see what's not there. It's really easy. Oh, it's not there. It's harder. And another thing to choose to see and hope through faith. This is what God has called us to. You know, there's another side to being a faith person. And this is what we're going to push in on today. There's another side to being a faith person. One side is believing by faith that God will reveal the unseen and holding fast to it. That's one side of it. The other side of it is the way that we outwork our faith by the way we follow the ways of Jesus. It's one thing just to say faith statements. It's one thing to say, yeah, I believe that's going to happen. I can't see it, but I'm believing that the unseen be seen. But the way we carry ourselves, the way we follow the ways of Jesus is the other dimension of how we walk faithfully. So let's talk a little bit about walking faithfully. I put this statement out there for us today, and we're going to dive into the scriptures. People who walk faithfully choose the ways of Jesus. Amen. People who walk faithfully choose the ways of Jesus. And in Matthew 16, 24 through to 26, it says this, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul?'" This understanding that people who walk by faith, who follow Jesus, they choose the ways of Jesus. They give up their own way. We give up our own way. We give up our old practices. We give up our old mindsets, our old beliefs, and we take on his. See, those who are counted as people who walk faithfully as followers of Jesus, they receive their salvation through the work of Jesus and the cross, the grave and resurrection. They turn their back on the old ways. They turn their back on our own ways. You know what I'm talking about, amen? Has anyone had to turn their back on their old ways? Four hands? Anyone else? Amen. It's something that we all have to do. We all have to come to. Now we give up our sinful practices, but what do we gain? We gain peace, we gain salvation, we gain eternity through Jesus Christ as we take up his ways. You know, some of those things, they're not instant. I kind of get the sense like anything that's instant, like it can't be good for you, right? Like instant coffee? Like it can't be good for you. You know, watching the way some people make tea, where they'll put tea in there and then just like pour like 120 degree water on top of it. Fee's like, who does that? See, some of the things that we go, it's not instant. Salvation is instant. Jesus paid the price of the cross, bam. Salvation. But getting rid of our old ways and taking on his ways, sometimes there's some stubborn things that God has to work through us with, and we need to come along other disciples and prayer and bring it to the Lord, and as he outworks those things away from us. So, but even though they take a bit longer, the cry of our heart is, I don't want the old ways, I want Jesus's ways. My first point this morning is, by faith people walk faithfully. Now, I've got a couple of examples for us today of the scriptures. I think it's important that we take all of this from the scriptures. And in Genesis 5, for anyone who's familiar with Genesis 5, we catch a whole lot of verses just talking about a family tree, pretty much. Who loves reading those chapters of just like family trees? Some people relish it. Some people are like, man, why is this in the Bible plan? Lord, like, but it's in this family tree that we find some power today. This is the family tree of Adam all the way through to Noah. And we see individuals like Adam living 800 years. And then his son Seth, 912 years. Anybody? Who wants to be alive for like 900 years? Anyone? One person. I don't think you know what you're putting your hand up for. It's like I'm in my 40s and my knees are saying, you don't want to live like to 900, my friend. And then it moves on to Enosh, 905 years. Kenan, 910 years. 895, 962. Then we get to Enoch. And Enoch was Methuselah's dad. Who knows how old Methuselah lived to? 1 million. No, he lived to 969 years old. The oldest person in the Bible. But Enoch, we're going to focus in on Methuselah's dad for a moment. This is what it says. Genesis 5, 22. This is powerful today amongst all this family tree. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years. And he had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. So we catch this amazing glimpse amongst all these names being read out. Lived for this long, had this son, lived for this long, had. And all of a sudden we get to Enoch. Enoch, yep, had children, but he walked faithfully with God. Amongst all these names, he walked faithfully with God. An individual in a long line of people. An individual who is now known by many people as someone who walked faithfully with God. Enoch chose that for all the days of his life to be committed to walking with God. Unwavering faith, uncompromising loyalty, and God-honoring obedience. This is the heart of Enoch, someone who walks with God. How do we know this is the case? Well, the scriptures highlight it in the middle of this family tree. Enoch, everybody, you got to know. I need to tell you about Enoch. My son, when he walked faithfully with me. See, a break in the continuum of a family tree. This is you today. In this passage of scripture, has Jesus saved you? Are you someone who's living by faith? Boom, a break in the time continuum for your family tree. God has called us to be people who also walk faithfully in the way that we follow Jesus. Let all the generations that come after us know that we have people who walk faithfully with Jesus. So Enoch lived 365 years and then God took him home to heaven. It's like, it's time to come home. You've walked faithfully with me. You've done a great thing. I want you to come and be with me now. And then another three generations come after Enoch. No mention of anyone else walking faithfully. You know, these are good people. These are people who honor God. They love God. But three generations go by. These individuals knew God. Their fathers have obviously passed down the ways of God to generation after generation. And this brings us to our second point today, that faith people follow God's commands. It says this in Psalm 128, verse 1, "Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him." It's one thing to follow him, but it's one thing to listen to his commands and obey his commands and follow them. That's a whole other thing. I mean, who knows? That's a little bit more challenging. that's a little bit more challenging. You know, for those of you who are reading this passage right now and you maybe haven't been in church a long time, when it talks about fear the Lord, it's not talking about cowering in the corner. It's not talking about hiding yourself because you've done something wrong. It's talking about living with reverence. acknowledging that God is the God of all creation, living with reverence and holiness towards him. Amen? Amen. It's important we understand that. Otherwise, we read this passage in fear. It's like, oh, I better obey him. No, no, no. Reverence of being the King of Kings, but we're going to walk in obedience to his commands and follow his ways. And we get in this passage of scripture three generations later, we get to Noah. Some of you may be familiar with Noah. Most of you, if you've been brought up in church, you know that Noah's the guy who built a big boat. If you went to Sunday school, Noah built a big boat. So, Dad, I built a boat. It's good, son. And why did he build the boat? Well, it was so that all the animals could be put onto it and his family could be put onto it, so the world could be saved before it was flooded. And in Genesis 6, verse 9, we catch this picture, and it says this, that this is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Three generations later, another individual is like, righteous, blameless among people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. What does it mean that Noah did everything that God asked him to do? An individual that was so committed to following God and following his ways that when God asked Noah to do something that made absolutely no sense, remembering at this time that rain had never fallen from the sky at this point, and people are like, you're what? You're building a boat. What's a boat? Why would you need a boat? But he's like, I'm going to commit to the command and obey the one who's asked me to do this thing. So much so that in Genesis 6, 22, it says this, so Noah did everything exactly as God commanded him. He's just living in obedience to the commands that God's giving to him. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. See, by faith, people who walk faithfully, they're people who want to obey God's commands. In 1 John 2, verse 3, it says this, and we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commands. That's how we can be sure that we know him. If we're not just happy with our salvation, we want to commit to the plan that he's got before us as well. And we obey his commands. It goes on to say in 1 John 2, verse 4, if someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commands, that person is a liar and not living in the truth. Verse 5, but those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know that they're living in him. Those that say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. We adopt his ways. Amen. By faith, people follow his ways and adopt his ways. See, by faith, people, they choose the declaration, for all the days of my life, I'm committed to walking with God with unwavering faith, uncompromising loyalty, and God-honoring obedience. This is the heart of someone who wants to faithfully walk with God. You know, our faith in him, our faith for the unseen, it's preceded by being a people who walk faithfully with obedience. Obedience to God's directions, obedience to God's commands in the scriptures. And maybe you're like, well, what are all the commands that I have to do then? Oh, don't you love Jesus? He simplified it for us. Does anyone know where I'm going this morning? Two simple commands to rule them all. It says this in Matthew 22, 37 to 39. And Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. That's the first one. And the second is equally as important. Love your neighbor as yourself. A heart that's just so committed with obedience to the simple commandments of God, but it covers everything. Everything comes out of those things. If our heart commits to those well, we walk faithfully in those things, everything else flows out as well because we're not living for ourselves anymore. Amen. See, when people around you in culture choose the world's ways, In the words of Genesis 6, for those of you, you may want to go back and read Genesis 6 after this, but in the words of Genesis 6, when people choose corruption, when people choose corruption of their soul under the guise of self-medication and self-gratification, when people choose violence with the tongue and with their actions, what will your choice be? What will your choice be? Will it be an eye that is enamored or an ear that inclines to the ways and ideologies of the world? Or will it be with a declaration of walking faithfully and responding in obedience to the commandments that God has put in front of you? You know, in Hebrews 11:5, you would have read this probably if you over the last couple of months, if you've read through Hebrews 11. It says this, and this is where we look at all the people in the Bible who are recognized as people of living by faith. It says this: it was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. Why was he known as a person who pleased God? Because he walked faithfully with God. Hebrews 11:7. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about all the things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, but he received the righteousness that comes by faith. It was by walking faithfully with God that an obedience in his heart that Noah activated his moment of walking faithfully. I want to speak it over us again. I choose faithfully to walk with God. I choose obedience. I choose to live by faith. I choose to live with faith, to see the unseen seen. May we be counted. Include yourself in this. May we be counted like the people in the old days who earned good reputation with God. Not because of how they held themselves in public, not because of their great deeds, but because of the way that they walked with God in obedience, walking faithfully. See, you and I, we are called to be by faith people who are known by God to have good reputation because of the way we've walked faithfully. Amen. Just as we close our eyes for a moment this morning, I felt to bring this message today because God has called us into a significant season of living by faith, believing that the unseen is going to be seen. But this is the extra dimension that all of us as individuals need to be a people that are so sold out to walking faithfully with Jesus at a personal level. Not at a body of Christ level, at a personal level. Maybe there are things going on in your world right now that you know that shouldn't be part of your life, shouldn't be part of your practice. They're the old ways that Jesus has asked us to put off. He's asking us to put on the ways of Christ, the mindset of Christ, the thinking of Christ, the actions of Christ. And there are some things that aren't adding up right now for you. You know you're conflicted inside. And I'm not talking about crazy far out things. Maybe that's real for you right now, but I'm talking about simple things as well. The simple things in everyday life. It's like I say these things, I act like this towards people, and you know deep in your heart, it's like this is stopping me from living in complete obedience to the commands of Jesus. A second commandment, loving others as you love yourself. If your words and actions are at odds to that, God wants to do something in your heart this morning. He wants to set you free of the old ways and release you. He wants those strongholds to be broken off your mind. He wants those strongholds no longer to have control of your heart. He wants you to love the Lord your God with all your heart and love others as you love yourself. This isn't a heavy one this morning. This is a freedom message. This is a freedom message. God doesn't want you to be held bound by those things anymore. He wants freedom in your heart and freedom in your mind so you can walk faithfully as you've been called to walk with Him. This is a non-condemnation message. It's a freedom message. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Amen. It's what the scriptures say. This is a freedom message for you today. And just in your seat where you are today, this is a moment of response between you and God your Father this morning. This is a moment for you to bring to Him the things that you know are either strongholds of the mind, strongholds of the heart. They're standing in between you, loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and stopping you from loving yourself so that you can love others well as well. Holy Spirit, just with every eye closed for a moment, Lord God, just as we're in this moment of response to you, Father, this moment where you're speaking to all of our hearts, calling us to holiness, calling us to righteousness, calling us to be set free, that strongholds will be broken off our minds, our hearts will be set free in Jesus' powerful name. Nothing clouding us, nothing holding us back, nothing stopping us from walking faithfully, just as of all of us right now, Lord Jesus. In this moment of peace, we come before you. This is your moment this morning, individual. This is your moment, dear friend, to hand it over to God. So I can't carry this with me anymore. I must be set free. I must be delivered from the torment of these things. I must be delivered for not being able to love myself because of this, this, and this. Whatever it is this morning, bring it to God, your Father. Jesus paid the price at the cross for this. He wants to restore you, wants to restore your family, wants to give freedom to you in Jesus' powerful name. Just hand it over this morning. Hand it over this morning. Give it to Him this morning. Give it to Him in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, I want to pray a simple prayer with our eyes closed this morning. I would love all of us church-wide, if this is you're like, this is line in the sand, that's it, no more with these things, walk with me, no more with these things, hold me back, I'm walking faithfully with God. If that's you, you're like, that's it, line in the sand. This moment, I'm leading me and I'm leading my family. I want you to pray this prayer after me. Let's pray. Dear God, nice and loud if you believe it. Dear God, for all the days of my life, I'm committed to walking with God with unwavering faith, with uncompromising loyalty and God-honoring obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're in your seats today and you would say that you don't know Jesus personally, you haven't accepted Him as Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you that walking faithfully is preceded by having a relationship with God. How do we have that? By accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. I've been forgiven of our sin. We're separated from God because of our sin. And Jesus was sent by God, went to the cross, was buried, rose again on the third day so that you could be forgiven of your sin and set free, known as a son or daughter of the Most High God. That's how much God loves us. That's how much God loves you. And so if this is real for you today, you say, I want to know Jesus. I want to be free of my sin. I want to know Jesus personally. I want to give you the opportunity. to do that today, to know him personally. And so I'm going to pray a prayer of asking Jesus to forgive us of our sin. The Bible says that if we confess with our mouth and believe with our heart that Jesus is Lord, that he'll forgive us of our sins and we'll be saved, known by him. And so if that's you, just with our eyes closed for a moment, we're going to pray a prayer. If that's you, pray this loud. Church, if you're sitting in your seat still, can you pray this with me? Dear God, thank you that you sent Jesus, that he went to the cross, the grave, and rose again on the third day for the forgiveness of my sins. I repent of my sin. I turn from my ways. And from today, I choose to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.